22 tonight, as we continue looking through the story of Balaam and Balak. And last week we saw Balaam originally offered this opportunity to be a prophet for hire and was offered great riches and rewards if he would do so, and he didn't go. God gave him very clear instructions: don't go, don't curse my people, for they are blessed. But Balak was not finished. Balak, the king of this Gentile nation, so he sent more, as we see in verse 15 tonight. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him." So I'm going to take my title from verse 19, "What the Lord will say unto me more." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your word would be supreme in our hearts tonight, that we would grow and learn from it, Lord, and our desire would be to honor and please you with our obedience, our service. I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be magnified, and Lord, you would guide us into your truth tonight. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the devil's just going to keep coming back. Amen. And he did, with more temptation for Balaam. So, you know, the Bible talks about this war that we fight. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And this war never ends. There's going to be lots of battles. But we need to be ready for the next one, because there's going to be a next one. Notice the 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." A lot of Christians know this passage, and I do as well, but I also memorized verse 6 because look what it says. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." In other words, another one's coming. Once you've obeyed and you've fought this battle and you've cast down the imaginations and all the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and you brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, be ready for the next one. Having in a readiness to revenge. Once your obedience is fulfilled, be ready for the next one. And this is Balaam's next one, isn't it? Balak sends even greater princes, promote thee to very great honor. The devil always makes it look good, disobedience. What's Balaam going through right now? It's called temptation. Amen? And he failed. Go to 2 Peter 2:15, because God tells us he did in the New Testament. So go to 2 Peter 2:15. Notice it says, "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Loved the wages of unrighteousness. Also, look at Jude 11. Two times God gives us insight into Balaam. Jude 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward." So Balaam is being offered greater honor, more riches, if he will curse God's people on behalf of Balak. Sometimes, if you look at verse 18 of our passage, Numbers 22, sometimes when Christians are contemplating backsliding, they talk spiritual. If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold. Sounds good. But verse 19 is the problem. That's our title tonight. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. That word more is the problem. Last week, God already made it very clear what his will was. Don't go, don't curse. No ifs, ands, or buts. No ambiguity. Don't go, don't curse. In other words, there is no more. But he says, I'm going to go back to God and see if there's more. Well, God already told him his will, didn't he? I'm going to go see if there's more. Well, there's never more. God's made his will clear in his word. He's given us his word. He's given us his commandments. And it's never right to go back and say, well, what else, Lord? Can I do this? Well, if it's disobedience, you can't. We cannot trust ourselves. Amen? Jeremiah 10:23, let's turn there quickly. You know what Joseph did? He fled. Why? Because he didn't trust himself when he was tempted. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:22 to flee youthful lusts. But notice here in Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, we don't know the way. And we're going to trust our feelings, trust our heart, trust our emotions, trust what we think is right. We're going to be led astray. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We must be led by the word, not by our own feelings, our own thoughts. I have a peace about it. God told me to do this. That's just more. That's just adding. God's already made his commandments very clear. And let's be honest. Balaam already knew in his heart that he's eventually going to try to disobey God. How do we know this? Because he tried 3 times to curse God's people. After all this spiritual talk, when he gets up there on the mountaintop and looks down on God's people, he did his best to curse. And why? Because he wanted the money, as we just saw. He wanted the riches. He wanted the honor. But the Bible says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man understand his own way? Proverbs 20:24. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We can't trust our heart. We can only trust what God says in his word. And there is no more. I don't like to get into doctrinal arguments with other Christians because there's usually not a point. But if they ask, I'm always going to answer from Scripture. And especially when, you know, charismatics try to tell me that God told them to do this or God said this or God appeared to me and told me to do this. I know we've got a problem right now because there is no more. God's not going to appear to us. We're told that in 1 Peter 1:8. We've never seen Jesus and we won't see Jesus until we get to heaven. So if you tell me you've seen Jesus, then you're saying the Bible's not true. And this whole, well, the Spirit of God led me and told me to do this. If it's in any way disobedient to the Word of God, he did not. That's how simple it is. God never violates his own word. And I've shared the conversation with you before, but the man that came to my house and said, oh, you know, you need to get your teaching off the internet about tongues, because tongues is of God and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'm not removing it because it's there for my people. But let's talk about tongues. And we dove into 1 Corinthians 14 and I said, here's the rules. If tongues is of God, here's the guidelines. And we walked through each one and he said, well, we obey every one of those. Then we got to the last one, which is that women are not allowed to speak in tongues in the church. Then he went real quiet. He didn't know what to say. And finally he said, you know what? If the Spirit is leading her to speak in tongues, then it's not her speaking, it's God. Okay, I guess we're done. why did God put it in the Bible then? If it's right there in black and white that the women are to keep silence in the churches and the context is prophecy in tongues, and you tell me, oh, it's okay for women to speak in tongues, then why did God put it in the Bible? That's just one example, and that is saying there's more. Yeah, the Bible says this, but there's more. There isn't more. God's done. He finished it. Amen? He said what? Don't add to it. Don't take away. Let's look at that, Revelation chapter 22 quickly. There's never more. And let us not ever fall into that trap that Balaam fell into, saying, well, I'm going to go back and ask God again. Maybe there's more. And there's never more. So Revelation 22 and verse 18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. We're not allowed to add to the word of God. It's done. It's finished. God's made this very clear. So God said, don't go, don't curse. Done. Amen? I'm going to go back and see what God might tell me more. So back to our passage, verse 20. And God answered Balaam. He came back, said, Lord, is there more? Here's what God said. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Now, did the men, the next morning, did they come and call him to go with them? It's not recorded, is it? The next verse says that he got up the next morning, saddled his ass, and went with them. The men didn't say anything. Because a lot of people look at verse 22 and say, well, why did God get angry if he told him to go? He didn't tell him to go. He said, if the men come to you in the morning and say, come with us, then go with them. But they didn't do that. They got up. He's already ready to go. He's already saddled his ass. He's ready to go. He took that as a go-ahead from God. Go ahead. Well, we know it wasn't God's will because God's anger was kindled. And we know what's going to happen next week. That's the donkey. He's going to crush his foot. And then he's going to hold a conversation with the donkey without stopping to think, wait a minute, I'm talking to a donkey right now. Well, God used the donkey to save his life because the angel of the Lord was going to kill him. All because he wanted more. More than what God had already made very, very clear. That verse we looked at in Jude 11, if we could look at it again quickly, there's a phrase in there that I just flew over, but I want to point it out tonight. What was the problem? Why did Balaam not wait for them to ask? Why did he go to God and ask for more? Well, we already know this from the New Testament, but look at this Jude 11 again. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and, look at these next two words, ran greedily. There's the problem. He ran greedily with these men from Moab for what? Reward. He couldn't wait to try to get the reward. You know what's sad? He never got the reward because he never cursed Israel because God wouldn't let him, even though he tried three times, as we'll see. So what kindled God's anger? God tells us right there in verse 22, because he went. God already said, don't go. Why are you even asking me a second time? Don't go. Don't curse. So God's anger was kindled because he went. He said, if in the morning the men come to you, they didn't. He took that as a yes and saddled his ass. The men got up and he said, I'm ready. Let's go. And that's exactly what he did. And we'll see the rest of the story next week with the talking donkey. Don't go ask for more. Amen. And I'm talking about what God wants for our lives. It's already given. The 150 commandments. Once you're obeying every single one of them, okay, then you can. But we never will we? None of us are ever going to obey all 150 of them at the same time because then we'd be like Jesus, wouldn't we? So don't go back and say, Lord, is there more? Is it okay if I disobey this command to follow? No. It's never okay to disobey God's commands in any way, shape, or form. So don't make him angry with disobedience. The only way to tell God you love him, look at 1 John 5:3 quickly if you would, is with obedience. That is how we say I love you to God. It's not our words, but our obedience that says I love you. 1 John 5:3, look at it. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Is the devil going to keep coming back and tempting? Of course he is. He's not going to stop until Jesus comes, like we talked this morning. Sometimes he's going to offer some really good stuff, like a lot of honor, a lot of riches, and it's going to look really attractive. Don't go back to God and say, is there more? No, there never is. If it's written down, it's final. Amen. It's God's final word. There's never more. Don't go back. Do like Joseph and flee. Balaam eventually was killed, by the way, by Israel, which we'll see. But it's not very often here in the Old Testament where it says God's anger was kindled. It only happened twice in all this disobedience we've seen with Israel. You want to kindle God's anger, here's how to do it. God tells you what to do in his word, and you say, is there more? Can I skirt around that one a little bit? That's a good way to kindle God's anger. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. All of them. Are there a lot of them? Yeah, but they're not grievous. Like we just read in 1 John 5:3, they're meant to help us. They're meant to protect us. They're boundaries to guide us. They're not grievous. And if we ever think they are, that just means we have a heart problem. So what the Lord will say unto me more. For believers in the New Testament, there is no more. There's only this. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this example, this story that you've recorded for us to teach us through the life of Balaam. Lord, may we not keep coming back and looking for ways to skirt your commands, but instead keep asking the Holy Spirit to show us which ones we are disobeying so we can get right. May we not, like Balaam, desire something so much that it leads us to disobedience to get it. And so, Lord, I pray that this would work in our lives and that our desire would be faithful to you and most of all, obedient to your beautiful commands. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through it.